Welcome to the Mysterious Multiverse Podcast.
We discuss all things metaphysical, paranormal, and otherwise unexplainable.
We are a group of friends who are all on different stages of our spiritual journey and therefore have varying perspectives regarding the topics we will cover.
The opinions expressed in this podcast do not necessarily reflect the opinions of other persons or groups we may be affiliated with, our sponsors, or producers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mysterious Multiverse. My name is Carolyn, and I'm here today with Amy and Tristan and Jason, and we're all here to chat you up about all the things mysterious and multi. So today, our topic is just our stories. What brought us to the place of being interested in these things? Mm-hmm. Anybody want to give it a go to start it up?
Oh, well, all fingers are pointing to me. So I'm Tristan. And I'd like to start off by saying that mine started off when I was very young, actually. I had one experience when I was probably around 3 years old, two or three. And I remember that I was in bed, and I was actually in bed with my parents. So I think sometimes I had slept sleep with them when I was really young. But I was on the edge of the bed, and there was this black hand that came up from underneath, and it was like a shadow figure. And it was so real to me at the time, it wasn't like imagined to where I was screaming, but I actually picked up a pillow and was beating at it. My parents didn't see it, and it just continued. It wasn't like a flash. It actually stayed me for, I'd say it lasted at least for 2 minutes solid, 3 minutes possibly. And it was something that was really ingrained in me that I never forgot because I really knew it was real. It wasn't just a figment of my childhood imagination. And so then after that, I did hear, voices. So obviously, I guess I'm thinking I'm crazy from a young age, but I would hear my name being called when no one was there. So I would hear that. And, being raised very conservative Christian, that was always, told to me that, you stay away from all that stuff and don't even give into it or anything else. And so I tried that. When I was, 21 years old, I actually was in the U.S. Air Force, and I was at Lackland Air Force Base for training. And that's when I had the biggest experience of my life. And if you actually want to read it in full, I actually have an article about it in Paranormal Underground Magazine. I think it was like a few issues back. And it's my experience there. And in so many words, it was where everything paranormal could happen probably pretty much happened to me at that time. I had where, my locker, it was a type of locker to where, the metal lockers you have to pull up on.
The wall
pull
lockers.
Out. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So you couldn't just open it very easily. It had to be physically pulled up and pulled out. And mine would rattle every single night. Lights out and mine's rattling. No one else's, just mine. And I'd wake up every morning with my locker wide open.
It's probably that shadow thing that was under your bed. It followed you. Oh, it out.
No doubt.
Never even thought of that, but who knows, right?
Oh, you're welcome.
Oh, my gosh. That's true. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so that was there. And then also during that exact same time, I would have dorm guard duty. And in the latrine, there would be toilets flushing, water going on and off all the time. And I go in there, have to check. I was terrified to do so. I just had my flashlight, myself in the dark, and nobody would be in there at all. I also heard humming at one point, and no one was humming while sleeping there. So I got to the point where I would actually sleep in my clothes, and I wouldn't even go into my pajamas because I just wanted to almost be just ready and awake to jump up and run out if I needed to.
Wow.
Yeah. And so the other thing was there was this place called the day room inside, that space as well. And we were all in there. And one day we heard just this blood-curdling scream, and it was of a man. And it came from the dorm itself. And we went there and we looked all around. We even looked out the windows to make sure there's no one else outside, But it sounded like literally someone was being killed. So story goes, I do not know how true this was or not, but basically I had heard that was a dorm back in the day where they had kept people that had mental illness, and that there was somebody that had actually hung themselves, from one of the bunk beds at the top, and somehow, hung from there. and died. So there was like the story of that, which, you know, have no idea if that was really true or not. But the one thing I can tell you is energy. And so the energy of that place, when I first walked in there, it was very strange because I noticed all the guys looked really sickly, very pale, and just they looked kind of, you know, just like they were super sick. And by the time I was there, it happened to me as well. And I ended up feeling very, very sick. And so that was my experience. And you had different flight numbers assigned to you when you first joined. And my flight number was 666. So I think I should have just known from the beginning. True story.
Wow.
Yeah. So if you guys, I don't want to take up the whole beginning. I'm surprised I'm going back stories, but
they didn't skip that number.
I know, yeah. Right? You'd think so. But like, that was like probably my big experience, I'd say. I've had tons of other experiences like growing up. Like I had, you know, staying in hotels and just weird instances happening. And then just, you know, having just an extreme, I was always interested in the paranormal, but also very interested also in just like the psychic and medium realms, the afterlife, past lives. It just was something that was always interesting to me. And even though I was told the opposite to stay away from that stuff, I just couldn't really get it out of my head.
It's usually the first thing people tell you to stay away from it. That's exactly where you're going.
Exactly.
It's really interesting how many people have had experiences that extend way back to childhood. We were actually talking about this a few weeks ago where there was a whole group of like six or eight of us having this same type of conversation. And in comparing notes, all of us had experiences starting at like 3, 4, 5 years of age. Mm-hmm. And we all sort of entered a period where we either tried to pretend it wasn't real or we were told it was all nonsense, or based on some religious issues, we were told that, you know, not to delve into it, not to believe in it, mm-hmm. not to deal with it. And so many of us had a period like through our teenage years where we either didn't deal with it, we didn't acknowledge it, or we pretended it wasn't there, and then it came back on us somehow in our 20s, sometimes sort of easily and sometimes with a big bang, depending on who you were and what your situation was.
Right.
Jason had some issues where it came back on him sort of like a big bang, and it was issues that had to be dealt with rather than easing into it with lifelong training. And I think that's a real disservice that our society as a whole has done by moving away from the natural cycle of things and not believing in the natural order of things, that none of us were trained to deal with these things, and we're all just kind of trying to figure it out now. But I think that's something that our future generations are going to have the advantage of, in that they're gonna have these things as normal and not have the stigma of having to, you know, pretend it's not real or be told it's all in their head and their fake friends are just fake and
right.
You know.
Yep.
So for me, I think the first experiences that I really had that I remember were around age 5, and they were happening. One thing happened in a single moment, and the other one was an ongoing thing. We lived in this very, very old house, but the house was very, very well built, and we lived on the main floor of the house, and the upstairs was all rented out as apartments. So there were people who lived above us, and you could basically never, ever hear those people. There was enough of a spacing between the floors that it gave a real soundproofing. Mm. You know, they could live their whole lives up there, and you never heard anything. But in my bedroom, every single night at 11 o'clock, I heard footsteps go down the hallway. Well, my door opened onto the hallway, and there was nobody going up and down the hallway. But every single night, I was listening to those footsteps. So I realized that this was something that was unusual. I didn't know how to solve or resolve this issue. So basically, I moved out of that room because it freaked me out, and I moved in. My grandparents ended up putting a small bed next to their bed that I could sleep in. So I slept in that bed, and that's where I had my my singular issue where one night I woke up. They call it sleep paralysis now, but anybody who's ever experienced this knows that that's just hogwash. I had the old hag sitting on my chest, and man, she's really rough looking. She's intended to scare. So I know that I was in a dream state, but she showed me, like she took over and she showed me through walls. She showed me everything that was happening in all the adjoining rooms, and she like lifted me up out of my body and moved me to another room and had me laying in the hallway. And I was able to watch my grandmother walking through one of the other rooms, and I was trying to scream to get her attention, and she had taken like my voice away. I couldn't make any noise, and she was laughing at me, and she's like, "That's my power. Whoa. You don't trump me." Oof. And I woke up, you know, a cold sweat, just sweating and freaked out, and I've remembered all of this ever since. But in that moment, I knew that between the weird footsteps in the hallway and this old hag sitting on my chest, that there were things that I was not equipped to deal with, and I like boxed myself off. Mm. It's not that I wasn't fascinated by those things, but they scared me because I knew I didn't know how to deal with it. And so I just like, I created this like mega bubble around myself that nothing was ever really able to get into. And even though I was always fascinated by stuff, the minute that anything would start like to come in, I just immediately locked everything out until much later. So that was my personal thing. Nothing came through my bubble, but I was surrounded by people, especially my grandfather, who had abilities, and my grandparents as a pair, who had multiple experiences. And so my entire childhood was listening to all of his experiences all the time. These were all firsthand, this happened to me, experiences. And you get to the point where you have to either believe that this stuff is true, or you have to think these people are completely psychotic.
Oh yeah.
And you come to a place where you have to make that decision. These people are completely crazy, or this stuff is real, even if it's not my personal experience.
Right, right.
So for me, I had to come, because I knew my grandfather, I knew my grandparents, they weren't completely crazy. Mm-hmm. They were actually very, very grounded, salt of the earth type people. And for them to be having these experiences, the experiences were out of the norm, but in his world, they were completely normal.
Right.
So some of them, he didn't talk about psychic experiences in his childhood, but he was a World War II vet, and he had served his tour in the European theater. He was both a medic and a supply lines driver in France and Germany, and he took his directions over, you know, those big walkie-talkie things straight from, I believe it was Patton. And so he was often in a position where, because he was always trying to supply the front lines guys, he was often in a position where he was sometimes behind the lines because the lines kept moving. Mm. So his intuitive abilities is what actually kept him alive. So oh, wow. It was weird because he would tell his stories about World War II, but his stories were all peppered with psychic experiences. Like, they were in this small town, and I don't remember what it was anymore, some small town in France, and they were in the center of town because he was talking about one of those fountains that they have in the center of town that historically were the watering trough and whatnot. So they were under fire, and he said that they had to make it to this central water fountain because in that central water fountain there was a hidden panel, and that panel was a hidden staircase going down, and they would be safe. And so they all ran over there.
Whoa.
They managed to find this panel, and they all went down in this staircase and underground and was able to get out from being under fire.
That's amazing.
It was interesting. I completely forgot about that until I was thinking about this experiences. So then there was another time where he was with his driving partner, and they were parked off of some road somewhere, and they were sleeping, you know, kind of like under their truck for protection.
Yeah.
And he woke up in the middle of the night, and he woke up his partner. He's like, "We have to go now, right now." And they jumped in the truck, they fired it up, and they took off. And just as soon as they got out of there, the very spot that where they had been sleeping started getting bombed, and the Germans were coming through.
Wow.
So then he also had ghost experiences where a guy who was renting a room from them in the 1950s after the war, he'd been killed at work, and traditionally he came home every single night at like 6 o'clock, and even after he died, you know, they started locking the front door because he wasn't going to be coming home anymore, and they'd be sitting in the living room or in the kitchen or whatever, and they'd still hear the door open and close even though it was locked. And they'd hear his footsteps go up the stairs, and they'd hear him go around and go into his room, and they'd go up and check, and there's nobody mm-hmm. there. So that wasn't just him. This is also my grandma, and probably my mom and my aunt, when they were little, would have heard this as well. I don't know if they remember it or not. But this happened on and on until they found that he had insurance paperwork that was in his room that had to be got to his mother. And once they took care of that, then the footsteps and the door and all that never happened again. Yeah. He also related multiple experiences with UFOs. And he said it wasn't his own personal thing. He wasn't the only person who saw it. You know, I mean, after he came outside and he's standing there as a giant cigar-shaped UFO over the top of his house and over the top of his car, and it's completely silent, making no noise whatsoever. And he's watching it move down the way, and then he goes inside and he's telling them, you know, what he just saw, and they turn on the radio and it's all over. The police are chasing it through town, and other people are calling in and reporting it. Yeah. Hundreds of people saw this thing.
Right.
So it wasn't just him. And then there was yet another time where he was driving his car out on some country road out in Illinois, and he saw this, you know, light shining down, and all he knows is that it was about an hour later he lost time, but he can't tell you anything more about other than there was a light, and then there was an hour difference somewhere along the line by the time he made it home.
That almost sounds like abduction.
Yeah, yeah. So he always talked about these things like they were completely normal.
Right.
So even though they weren't my experiences, I grew up with this as a constant conversation in our house all the time. It was just an open and normal thing.
Right.
So that sort of created my base from a very, very early age as to why I was interested.
Wow, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. How about you, Amy?
I had a sleep paralysis experience, and that's sort of what, well, that's my first encounter, I guess, with the paranormal. But in terms of like metaphysical stuff, I had always been interested in just, you know, even like vampires and different creatures, but, you know, tarot cards and astrology. I was like very interested in all of that stuff as a teenager. But I had my first experience with paranormal was somewhere around 14 years old. I was interested in astral projection. And I had been trying, and I had one experience, and then somewhere around that time, which was an interesting experience, but I won't go into it. What's more interesting is that I had this sleep paralysis, and my experience, I found out, I didn't really talk to anybody about it in my family because I thought, well, I'm just imagining it. It was just a dream. And so I didn't mention it to anyone, and then found out about 2 years later. I was talking to my oldest sister, Susie, and she started telling me about an experience she had, and it was the exact same thing that happened to me. And so in that moment, I was like, oh my gosh, let me tell you about what that is exactly what happened to me. So what happened was I was laying in my bed, and it was still dark, and I woke up and all I could see was that I was lying the wrong way in my bed, and I was staring at the wall. I was staring at one of my windows. Mm-hmm. And I felt something behind me sit down on the bed. I had a water bed. So it was very obvious. You could feel something sitting down on the bed. And I could not move. And I could not say anything. And I was terrified. I was terrified. And then I felt this hand on my shoulder because I was laying on my side. And then the voice, "It's okay. It's okay." It just kept, and my human brain was hearing the voice. And it was trying to assign identity to the voice. Mm-hmm. And every time I tried to assign identity to that voice, the voice would shift.
Whoa.
So I was thinking, is it my mom? And I would almost hear my mom's voice, and then it would shift. Mm. Is it my stepdad? And then I would kind of hear more of a masculine tone in the voice. And then when I ran out of people that it could be that were living, it was like more of a, it was definitely a female voice. And my sister had that exact same experience, how the voice was kind of shifting, but that it was a female voice, at least from what I can recall. I'll have to bring this up to her and just kind of confirm that. But it was definitely the voice, and it was a hand, and it was kept saying, "You're okay, it's okay, you're okay." Well, I personally feel that it was my Nana coming and visiting me in my sleep, because way, 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 way years later, and I didn't know at the time, I didn't understand that that really could happen, but I believe that now, because our friend Teresa Carroll,
oh, okay.
Who is a well-known medium up in the Seattle area, I believe it is. She, my Nana came through to her. Mm-hmm. And she was able to confirm things for me that no other psychic has ever been able to, had ever been able to confirm with my Nana particularly. My Nana, for some reason, wasn't coming through with any medium that I would talk to. And or just not in the ways that could be confirmatory for me. And so, and she was mentioning that my Nana wanted me to know that she's there when I'm sleeping. She's watching me when I sleep a lot. And so I felt like, oh, wow, you know, that was definitely, I had kind of had my suspicions. But when she said that, I felt that even going all the way back to that experience, that was probably her. And I know that she could feel that I was startled and was trying to tell me, it's okay, it's okay. Because it was a loving presence. It wasn't a mocking or a, how you were describing, like with the hag.
Yeah,
I had never heard of that
terrifying.
Before. Yeah.
Oh,
but it's still scary. And I don't think that has ever, ever happened to me since then. So, did you want to?
Yeah, I just want to say, I remember with Teresa Carroll, though, that with your Nana, I thought this was very interesting because she was such a religious person that because Teresa Carroll also is spiritual, and like from the church, that basically that's why she was okay with talking to her.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was quite interesting, actually. Yeah. So, like, just to have that thought of maybe some spirits, like, maybe if they don't come through to one medium, maybe there's a reason, and then maybe they have to find one they feel like they want to talk to.
Actually, that is a big part of it, because just like us, I mean, we have our people we resonate with, people we don't resonate with, and maybe that's part of it, is that the spirit has to resonate at the same frequency as maybe what the medium is able to pick up. Or there's something about that person with shared experience or something that there's a connection there. I feel like that when I go get a tarot reading from someone else, I'll go through a whole room of people and I just won't feel, I won't resonate with that energy, and I won't get one. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden I will resonate with that one person. And mm-hmm. So maybe it's kind of kind of like that. But I think that's a very interesting point.
And I think the only other sleep experience where I felt like there were spirits trying to contact me while I was sleeping was in my 20s. I lived with my grandmother, my dad's mother, and in Tucson. And her home, I later found out, because I actually went and sought out a psychic and who was also a medium to find out what in the heck is going on in this house, because I was just like inundated being woken up every night with hearing my name being spoken and, you know, hearing rustling in the closet, lights were flipping on and off. I would be running the blender, you know, making a shake in the kitchen, and I would hear, you know, somebody shout my name in my ear, and I would, you know, turn off the blender and look around. And the psychic medium told me basically that there was a portal in that house, and she says it's coming from the back bedroom, and she kind of described like the house layout and told me where it was coming from, and she said that I'm very, very open and very, very nurturing person, and so they're all very attracted to me. And she said that my crown chakra was way open, and she said that basically you had to kind of shut that down. So she helped me do that, and after that, I stopped having experiences.
How old were you at that point?
I was about, I would say, 22, 23, somewhere in there.
Wow. Yeah. Hmm. That's, want no open portals.
Yeah, open portals and open crown chakras. It was like some kind of a, it was all too open.
Did you have children?
Yep, lots of children. There was one time where I was lying on the bed, and there was like a little girl lying on top of me. And I blonde hair. I mean, so it was a big deal, and so it was really disturbing me. Actually, I was being disturbed, and so I had to basically put up a barrier. And that woman helped me do that, and then the experiences basically stopped. And I think that somewhere around the time, Tristan, when you and I kind of got together again, and we sort of started talking about our experiences, and then you met Seth Michael, and you were saying, you know, I don't know exactly what you believe. And I'm like, oh, I believe. I believe, son. You know? But that's sort of when I got back into this paranormal scene, as it were.
Awesome.
Nice. That's some kind of scary experiences, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jeez. There's something about sleep that kind of attracts that.
Yeah.
I'll hit that twilight, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not awake, but I'm not asleep yet. Mm-hmm. Kind of in the middle. Mm-hmm. And if I, like you were playing the guess who with the other side, trying to guess who the spirit was coming through, and it kept changing the name.
Yeah.
And I thought it was interesting. Every time you, or changing the voice.
Yeah, the voice.
Every time you thought of it, well, is it my grandpa, is it this person? And you're sticking to the living people. Mm-hmm. And the voice would change to that.
Yep.
During that twilight period, I can kind of like do that too. If there's like music in the background or white noise, or we always have a fan in the bedroom. Mm-hmm. I find it easier to talk to spirits during the, if I'm aware enough to do that, during that twilight period, because I believe the spirits are using the energy from the noise to modulate and communicate.
Oh, wow.
So if I think of like a song in my head during that time, I can hear the whole song perfectly like I'm listening to the radio. Or if I'm thinking of a person, I can hear that person talk to me. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if you were playing with maybe that too.
Yeah.
And your grandmother was trying to be that energy to, you know, help you tune and find out, you know, who it was without telling you. That was very interesting.
That is.
But I like that. It's a lot of time when this is where that hag will come in too. For some people, I mean, they don't recognize it as a hag, or there's legitimate sleep paralysis too. But I think during that moment of that pressure, it's an opening for you to see beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
And so sleep can be a really mysterious, because mm-hmm. you're in between worlds if you think about
right.
it.
Right. Well, I kind of thought that that it was my consciousness trying to identify, you know, who. And so it was like, then it's like my brain would hear it differently. Like I would try to, you know, it's almost like when you answer the phone, mm-hmm. right? And you think it's someone
right.
and it kind of sounds like that person.
Yeah.
And then they're talking and maybe they're playing a game with you. Oh, I'm not going to tell you who this is, whatever. My family is a bunch of jokesters. Anyway, so somebody's thinking, why would anyone do that? Yeah, my family. You know, and so I don't know what it was. It was really, but my sister, I'll have to talk to her again and find out, but I'm pretty sure she said that the voice was changing for her as well.
That'd be really interesting.
That's
to find
a, yeah,
out.
That's a very specific experience yeah. that you mm-hmm. have is a shared experience.
Mm-hmm. And it is a shared, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did it, do you know if it happened like at the same time or were they like months or years apart?
I feel that they were probably around the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I would say like maybe within the same year about, mm-hmm. because she said she had the experience while she was sleeping on a cot, like a fold out bed
mm-hmm.
in our upstairs living room,
mm-hmm.
because my little sister, Asha, took over her bedroom. So she had been moved out. I was still living at home because Asha was there and she was still, you know, and Susie was gone. So it must have been around that same time. I was 14 about years old.
Hmm.
14,
wow.
15, somewhere in there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what about you? What brings you to all this crazy?
Well, the first thing I can remember was I was 3 or 4 years old. And I was playing in my room. It was a Sesame Street. Remember the color forms?
Oh,
they peeled
oh,
off.
Yeah.
And you put them on different sets,
love
and they had
those.
That nice vinyl
Me
smell.
Too. Yes, they had the smell.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I love the smell.
Oh,
love
now I know
those.
What you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, were they like the kind of transparent stickers?
They're not,
no.
not transparent.
I'm thinking
they're opaque, and they're plastic. And so you have this clear, hard board
yeah.
that's a scene.
It's like
yeah.
a window cling.
Yeah.
yeah
like a window cling. That's what I meant.
Except you can't see through. But you can do things. Anyway, it's kind of fun.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, that's really cool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was 3 or 4, and I was playing with these. And all of a sudden, and I was playing on the bed. My knees were on the ground, and the color forms were on the bed. And on the other side of the bed, which was against the wall, Paul, the gorilla from Electric Company, it's because I watch a lot of Sesame Street and Electric Company. I think my spirit guides or a spirit was coming through as Paul because they knew I loved him. It was funny. If they came
big
as that. So he a big gorilla, just his head and shoulders rise above the bed, and he's smiling, and he's just there.
That's terrifying.
Wow. That is terrifying.
But it wasn't terrifying.
Oh.
It's like whatever it was new to come. As that,
right?
For some whatever reason, there was no message. There was nothing. It was more. It was during a big transition. I mean, my parents were actually, you know, talking divorce at that time. Although I was too young to understand.
Wow.
But this spirit came, and it felt comforting to me.
Mm-hmm.
It felt loving and comforting.
Big gorilla
and
comforting.
He stayed there, and I started to play again, watching him, and he'd smile, and then he just went away. And I didn't try to interact. I was too young to try to figure out what to do with this. I just let him be. I just, you know, you're young, and how much do you really know about how the world works?
Right.
If something happens, maybe that's the way the world works. I don't know.
Right.
And so I just let that go. That wasn't a big deal. That never happened again. However,
don't let it happen now.
the same year,
I already freak out walking into our room. You never know.
The same year, I was still 3 or 4. My parents is still the period where they're talking divorce, and I think my mom was in the kitchen cooking. My dad was at work, and I opened the hall closet where the vacuum cleaner was. And because I heard something. So I opened the door and I tried to figure out where the sound was coming from because I heard talking in the distance. And I couldn't figure it out. And it was coming from the vacuum cleaner. And I thought, well, that's okay. I mean, I'm little. I probably wasn't thinking a whole lot except, all right, that's where the sound's coming from. So I picked up the hose and put it to my ear and I heard my dad's voice.
Whoa.
And so I'm listening and he's talking to a lady. He's very friendly. And I hear beeping in the background. I hear a lot of things moving around. He was a manager of a McDonald's in Tacoma.
Mm-hmm.
And so all the sounds I had associated with McDonald's were there. And he was talking to this woman whose voice I would later recognize to be my new stepmom.
Ooh.
When my parents got divorced, just months later. And they married right away. My mom and my stepdad got together right away. And I knew the voice as soon as I met her.
Wow.
And it came from the vacuum cleaner.
Did you point at her and say, "You're the lady from the vacuum cleaner"?
You're the vacuum cleaner lady.
Did she work at McDonald's too?
And my mom, "You left me for a vacuum cleaner lady." Yes, she did work at McDonald's also.
Oh, my God.
That's where they met. And it's also where my stepdad worked.
Oh, my gosh.
And
wow.
There was that whole thing going on there.
That's bizarre.
A lot of stuff happening at the McDonald's. Wow. Which, by the way, his mom just had surgery, open heart surgery here 2 weeks ago.
Right, yeah.
And we went to this very same McDonald's for the first time ever.
Oh, my gosh.
And, of course, she was in the hospital.
She was in the hospital.
Her stepdad,
I was born at.
Yeah. His stepdad that she married and worked with his real dad there at this McDonald's was there like, "Oh, they've remodeled this and they've remodeled that," and we're all just, this is strange. Yeah, the whole thing was bizarre.
Oh my god,
so much had started at that McDonald's.
Wow.
Anyway,
that's an incredible,
it's a busy
story.
McDonald's.
It is very busy.
Wow.
So after that, I can't really remember anything that would stand out after that. I'm sure things happened that I didn't recognize as that. But when I was probably 5 or 6, I was 5 because we were moving to Alaska. Yep, we were moving to Alaska from Washington. And my mom would have this thing where she would play psychic games with me. And it's because her intuition was really high. She would say something and then it would happen. And I'd be amazed. So I said, "How did you do that?" She goes, "I'll show you." And so she taught me how to tune in. And she goes, "Okay, now I'm thinking of something," and she'd write it down. "And I'm going to think of it. And you just look at me. And when you know what it is, you tell me what it is." And so, okay, I would think, and I'd get maybe the first few wrong. But finally, I'd get one right. Like she'd write down teddy bear and I would say teddy bear. And she'd show me teddy bear. And I said, okay, great. So once I got the feeling of what was right and what was wrong, I started getting more and more right. So it became a really, really fun thing.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
And we would practice this every once in a while through the years until probably 7 or 8. And one of the last things I remember, we were sitting in front of a store, and she goes, "Watch this." And I could see my dad through the windows of the store at the cash register, and she looked at him. It was dark. You can't see anything, and he wasn't looking at us. She looked at him, and she said, "Turn around and look at me, Arnold." And he stopped what he was doing. He had a confused look on his face, and he looked at the car like that. And then he went back to what he was doing.
Wow.
And so I...
Wow.
But unfortunately, it ended when all of a sudden our house became a very religious household.
Oh.
And it wasn't necessarily banned. It kind of just disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I never really did anything with it after that. It was many years later until after I met Carolyn that all this stuff started coming back again. And I think the reason is that I was with the right person that could resonate with that kind of energy and allow that to happen.
Yeah.
Before, I was kind of being protected because I did not have those people around me that would have understood.
Mm-hmm.
I would, you know, who knows?
One of the first things that you told me was you could see the color of my aura.
Right.
And I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about, but okay.
Oh, you didn't?
Oh, okay.
Well,
that was
I mean, I did and I didn't. I didn't know anybody who could do that. And so I just assumed it was just a weird passing comment on his part. I've come to realize since then that he actually does see Or a, that's
like so a weird cool. pickup line.
I know. Yeah. I'm like, and what do you mean I'm gray?
I can see you. Yeah, I'm sick.
And that's the way I said it. I didn't understand auras at the time, but I knew that when people feel a certain way, they change colors. Mm-hmm. And like if you're really angry, you'll have red and black radiating from your shoulders and your head.
But he didn't understand that nobody else sees that.
I just thought
that's
that
not a
thing.
Normal thing it's that like, everybody else sees.
And if you're smiling, I can tell you're happy.
Yeah.
And if you're not, I can look at your eyes and say, okay, you're sarcastic, or, right, or you're being mean.
Why do you look at me,
Jim? I was thinking the same thing, and I was like, oh, yeah, it makes sense.
No, I could totally feel her eyes on you just then. I didn't even have to.
My eyes are on the two of you now.
You're in a comfortable eye gaze. If I look at her, I feel like this is right here.
I'm right on your shoulder here.
I know, I can turn my head. Ow, what are you doing?
You guys have a bromance going on.
We are sitting
so,
at
so I did. I thought it was normal, and I'm sitting next to her where we met at Hewlett Packard online, and she comes in, and she's just radiating gray, just her whole body. And, oh, you're gray today.
Yeah, but, it was a weird romance we had. He splashed ranch dressing all over me, and told me I was gray, and I don't know why we're together.
Wow.
It's been 25 years. Something, it was weird, but it worked.
Supposedly ranch dressing is really good on anything, so yes, I'm just saying. Right.
Yeah. It's really good on
her. He was awkward. He was a little awkward.
Yeah, super.
I didn't know saying that she wouldn't understand. But so I told her she was gray. She said, what do you mean? I said, well, you know, something bad has happened or someone gets really depressed or they feel like hopeless, that's just the color they are, and that's your color, so what happened? And she went this long, long story about...
I didn't just open up and tell him everything. It took him a while.
He had to spill ranch on you first.
Yeah, he's like, no, really.
Open up the conversation.
Well, you know, I mean, I would come in and I don't really know any of these people that I'm working with, and they'd be like, hey, how's your day? And I'm like, oh, yeah, it was great. And everybody else would be like, that's great. My day was great, too. And that was the end of it. And Jason would be like, no, what happened to you today? I'm like, no, my day was great. And he's like, no, your day wasn't great. What actually happened? And I'm like, no, my day was great.
a tear comes down.
Right, one single gray tear.
So through my grayness, he made me spill the beans, and he would just sit there and listen to all my stories about what happened through the day and be my shoulder to cry on. Anyway, then once we got together, a lot of other things started happening. Like, he'd just be walking down the hallway, and he'd start blowing out light bulbs, or he'd kill watches. And, you know, then we're looking at each other like, what just happened? How come you broke all the light bulbs in the hallway?
Right.
How was that a thing? And, you know, that was our first inkling that there was something else that we had to start figuring out how to deal with. And
yeah, we had other things going on around that time. There was a period of time from meeting her, mm-hmm, and things started, all of a sudden, everything started coming back. And a class we took with Seth Michael and Aurora.
So other things happened for years leading up to that.
I know. There's a period of time between those two, mm-hmm, things where a lot of things happened. Mm-hmm. I had a dream one night, and it was so real. I started having dreams that if it looked like it was real, then I knew it was going to really happen, because I would dream it, and it would seem like I was actually there. Mm-hmm. And then I would relive it like a week later.
Wow.
Yeah, that deja vu stuff happening.
But I was aware. I was aware of what I did then and, mm-hmm, the choices I have now, and maybe some choices not to make, or some choices, you know, let's try it this way this time. And if it still fails, whatever, at least, you know, I had the opportunity to do something different. Mm-hmm. One dream I had was at the Columbia River, and I had two things that happened at the Columbia River. This was the first one. It was the Columbia River. It was nighttime. There was a man, and he was floating down the river, and he was wearing an orange vest and white tennis shoes, and he got stuck underneath, over by what used to be the chart house and the I-5 bridge. He was stuck somewhere over there, and that was the dream. And so I woke up from that dream. I told Carolyn all about it. We started looking things up on the internet and trying to figure out, you know, did anything happen? Because I swear it was real. Couldn't find anything. It was like a week later that...
Yeah, it was about a week later.
A week later.
Friends of ours called and just out of the blue, it was her birthday, asked us to go to the chart house for a birthday dinner that night.
Right.
It was... Yeah.
So we go to the chart house, and it's nighttime, and I remember this dream all of a sudden. And so I'm looking out at the water through the window, and, you know, we're having dinner, and I'm thinking...
Well, we even brought flashlights, but they weren't very good, and we were trying to look in the water,
so
it was already getting dark. And
we recounted the dream, but Carolyn said, isn't it weird that Dave and Vicky invited us to the chart house exactly where you said you saw the body? And so we bought flashlights with us.
We've been there for years, you know.
Right. So after dinner, I told them, did they go with us?
Well, yeah, we met them there because it was her birthday dinner.
No, I mean afterwards.
Well, we were out looking ahead of time because by the time we left, it was dark. And then the news the very next morning.
Right. So, but we didn't find anything. We searched and we searched and we didn't find anything. But the news the very next morning.
Somebody was out in a boat who was just out in the water a little bit further than what we could see, looked down and found this guy in his orange vest and his white tennis shoes caught up in the weeds and stuff right there between the chart house and the I-5 bridge. So we were looking in the right spot, but we couldn't see out far enough. And it had turned out that this guy was up above. He was many miles upstream. We didn't know that he was necessarily in the water. We just knew that some guy had left his boat. They found his boat way up the river, like 5 or 10 miles up the river, and were looking for him up there, assuming that maybe he'd left his boat and got in his car and drove off or went hiking. You know, we didn't necessarily know that he was in the river or that he had come that far.
Wow.
So,
I remember you guys telling me this story before, and it just, like, blew my mind. Mm-hmm. It's incredible.
Yeah, it was one of the first things that just really stood out. Another one was her grandfather passed away. And before he passed away, he was
in a coma because he was in the middle of congestive heart failure, and he had cycled down to the point where I think he was in a coma for a couple days.
So kind of on hospice.
Yeah, he was on home hospice. He was at home, and so in this particular situation, we lived in our own house, a different house, and I had my grandma needed to run down and finally pick out his casket because she'd kind of put it off, but at this point it was inevitable that it was going to have to be dealt with. We needed to go figure something out. And she hadn't wanted to take the time away from him to go find it. So Jason was with our kids, who were very little at the time. And he stayed with them at our house. And I had spent the night with my grandma that night, just in case she needed any help with grandpa overnight. And at first thing in the morning, I got up with her. And we went down to the funeral home and spent all this time. We were down there for maybe an hour and a half, pushing 2 hours, going through their selection of caskets. My grandpa had always been, he could fix or build or make anything, but he did a lot of woodworking. So we were looking through their selection of all the big wooden caskets, you know, the walnut and the oak and, you know, and my grandma's like, no, that's not right. I'm like, you know, but he loved this type of wood. This would be perfect. And she's like, no, it's not right. And finally, we went and sat up front in the office and we're flipping through their book, looking through page after page after page. I'm like, grandma, what about this one? She's like, no, that's not right. We get all the way to like the last couple pages in the book. And now we've gone from the wooden ones to these metal ones. And we're looking at all these steel coffins, basically. And we get to this one that is kind of a light, it's a borderline light blue and gunmetal gray. And the inside is embroidered a big American flag. And, you know, my grandpa was World War II. And even though he had issues with all of that and the government in general, he did love the fact that he had served his time and So my grandma's like, oh, this blue-gray steel and this American flag, this is the one. And just then an ambulance went by and we're like, oh my gosh, we got to go. You know, this might be going to our house. And yeah. We're like, grandma's like, this is the one. And we jumped up and ran out the door. And we got back to the house like 2 minutes later and the ambulance was not there. It's like, but just then we pulled in the driveway. There's no ambulance. And in that moment, Jason is getting ready to back out of the driveway. And he has my cousin. He's brought the kids out to the house and my cousin needed to run to the store. So he's giving her a ride to the store. And I go over, I'm like, oh my goodness, you know, haven't talked to you. We've been down at the funeral home. And he's like, yeah, I had this dream about your grandpa last night. In the dream, I walked into this room and it was this all white room. And in the middle of the room was this gunmetal gray steel casket. And it had this like American flag in it. And he's sitting in it and he's talking to me about all this stuff. Like he's passing down to me these things that I need to know now. And I'm just looking at him like, what did you just say? Because we just picked this out like 5 minutes ago. 5 minutes ago we picked this out.
It's amazing.
So yeah. And after that, then the things really ramped up with Jason's abilities after that. Mm. Just the sleep, gateway was open after that.
Sleep talking, the different voices coming out in different languages that I didn't understand that she had to deal with. I didn't have to deal with any of that. Mm.
He thought I was crazy. He thought I was
until
just
started
nuts.
Recording.
Well, I kind of thought he was crazy a little bit when you first started telling me about it. I was like, I don't know about that, Jason.
There's a lot more, of strange more things, you know? I'm talking to people in the middle of the night that were not him. You know? It's like,
maybe a little bit before that or during that I decided, you know, lights blowing out, electronics not working, dreams, these dreams that I keep having, and we decided I needed to focus it some way. And so we're at Barnes & Noble. No, it was Borders.
Yeah, it was Borders back in the day.
When
they actually
had one in Vancouver.
Yeah.
And we're at the coffee shop, which we did every Sunday with the kids. We'd go there and just read books and drink coffee. And I went past some tarot cards. And I had never seen tarot cards before. I mean, I knew what they were, but I'd never seen them for sale before. Or was that a place you could actually buy them?
Mm-hmm.
So, well, that's kind of interesting because I know they're supposed to work with the subconscious and different things like that. So maybe. And so I took it home and I'm just resonating immediately. Everything I ask, it's just, wow, all this information. All of a sudden, a lot of that stuff stopped. It felt
all the
like
weird things stopped.
Yeah, it was being channeled now. It was being focused. It said, okay, finally you're listening to us.
Right.
We'll leave you alone and you work with it this way.
Wow. You have a tool then.
I had a tool. I had something that I could focus and ask the questions or allow communications to me. Mm-hmm. I found my magic wand.
Mm-hmm. I think that's amazing. Like for me, it was like I went through a whole bunch of different decks. Mm-hmm. So I had tarot decks, oracle card decks, you know, all different types of decks. And for me, it was actually the angel cards. And so I finally got my deck and that's the one for me that it's been like perfectly accurate every single time. And my other decks, I just never really resonated as much with.
I can see that. You have such a vibrant, energetic, positive personality.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And I was just reading a meme yesterday. It showed tarot cards, and it gave a really bad message. And so and oracle cards was like, it always takes something, and it says the most positive thing you can think of.
That's true.
And sometimes you need that. You need that energy. Mm-hmm. But you also need the tarot energy that says,
yes,
this is what it is, or you're in danger, girl.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That type of thing. But you also have the times where you need a positive message because you're not finding hope from anywhere. And maybe that one message gets you through the next day or the next week or your problem or whatever it is.
It's interesting.
It's important to find your tool.
Mm-hmm. It really is. And like for mine too, it's just been like where it really has. I mean, it's worked for other people, like when they've asked questions and stuff. And then for myself, it's always been very perfect to predict things. And for me, that's been nice, you know, for guidance because like we were talking about earlier, you say like, you know, you find certain people that you work with and they seem to be even like the people, the mediums, mm-hmm. the psychics and everybody else, the tarot readers. You know, and I've got mine. Jason, of course, is one of my people. I highly recommend Jason.
Oh, yeah.
But really, I have just, you know, a couple people, really, I go to that have just been so accurate with me. Not to say anybody else is not, but I do agree that I feel like, you know, you kind of find your people that are just the ones that kind of work with you.
Resonate,
you know,
with you.
Which is
and
interesting.
Your energy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Seth's class, Seth was doing a class with, just mentioned a little bit ago, with Aurora.
Yeah.
Sharon Lewis. They're both mediums, and they're holding a, what was it called? How to Everyone Psychic or something like that?
Yeah, it was one of his first classes about 5 or 6 years ago, and it was how to know if you're a medium, or I don't remember what the name of the class was, but it was important because it was it wasn't just a single class. It was like 6 times we were going to meet over a period of a few months. And
oh, wow.
Each time we were going to have like homework to do and then come back. And
cool.
And there was probably a dozen people in the class. And
yeah.
It was the very first time that Jason had been in a room of people, and he wouldn't say anything at first. First couple of classes, he just sat there with his arms folded and being all grumpy and just emitting this... not gray, but like fuming, don't talk to me, don't look at me energy.
Very much an introvert. But, I didn't do the group thing, especially new people. I can't be around new people and be able to talk.
Other people started sharing their experiences about what they got out of the homework or what had happened to them in the past, he starts perking up and he's listening. He's like, oh, you know, and he still didn't say anything at first, but afterwards we'd talk about it. And he's like, this is the first time I've ever had been around other people who have had the same life experience as me, and I don't feel completely crazy for the first time ever when it comes to this stuff.
Right.
And
so
that was hugely important.
Wait, did you say that this was only like 6 years ago?
Yeah.
Whoa, that's crazy.
I mean, we've been together for 25 years, and we've had all these other things happening all the time, but it wasn't until we met Seth that finally everything came together and we coalesced all of these life lessons into one. What, you know, and then just everything longer. Bloomed and you know, the whole tribe all came together and you guys came into our lives.
Seth was like that for us, and I always tell Seth
Seth and Joel are a hub for
they're like the hub, and then the spokes of the wheel was coming shooting out.
Absolutely
My gosh, I mean, it was funny because it's like when I, you know, wanted to film, you know, like I said, we said, like, you know, the All Around Us, the feature documentary on Seth Michael. It's like that was supposed to be just some short film, you know, and it's like how that started off is just mind blowing. But for me, it was like I was really excited because I was like, oh gosh, I just can't wait to film this because it's going to really just, you know, remove the stigma that a lot of people have. And I just wanted to show it not as like the typical Hollywood type thing, but just really get to know the person, you know, and, you know, everything that happens with it. And out, you know, and it was very interesting because even though I'd filmed almost all the classes and gallery readings, it's like you still question yourself. Like I still was am I crazy? Am I really, you know, I had no idea when Seth kept saying like, well, yeah, I see spirits like in my mind's eye. And I'm like, what does that mean? You know, I couldn't really understand it until it happened to me. And then all of a sudden it happened and I started seeing spirits in my mind's eye, and it started with shadows, and then it started with people. Like I could see actual spirits, and it was just, and I was like, oh my gosh, so that's what that means. And I was like, whoa, it's so crazy, but amazing.
I'm okay, you know, not having that.
Right. Well, the thing is for me is like, I actually ended up, so I can use a little thing that you told me. So we were at Port Gamble Ghost Conference, and that was like, you know, over a year ago now, because I missed the last one. But it's when you told me about my chakras, and basically it was actually a very good protection thing. And actually, you know, do you want to tell people about that? Because what you told me was great about how you can dim them and stuff.
Okay, so basically, your chakras, you can open and close them, but you can also adjust them. And say that you're going, say you're an introvert like I am, and you're going to go into a Walmart, which is
Great.
A great place great. to test closing your chakras.
Close them down.
Close them down. So it would be that I would, as soon as I walk into a Walmart, it just, the energy there is, for me, is, it's just very, very negative. And I get really high anxiety just being there. I stopped doing it. I can't do it anymore.
Right.
But in order to go to places like that, or the mall on Christmas, or something, you know, something where there's going to be a lot of people.
Costco on a Sunday.
Imagine your chakras all lined up, all bright. Now just imagine them going down in color a little bit, trying to transfer to a softer color. It's muting. You can barely tell right now that there's even color to it. It's just kind of the, maybe a little bit of a muddy yellow or a little bit of a muddy green. And all of a sudden your aura tightens around you. And everyone's out of your bubble. You're in your own bubble. And anxiety starts to go away. You're not as fearful as you were before of whatever it is. Anyway, you're saving your, you know, you're just saving your energy.
And also the spirits, how they can find you through that too. Remember you told me about that.
Yeah, so it was like, go ahead.
Okay. So basically,
you're going to remember this better than,
but yeah, basically, it was the protection part of it was talking about, like, if there are, like, you know, certain spirits or, you know, entities, whatever, you know, that are kind of seeking out maybe certain people, you know, it was like, if your chakras are all turned up, they're like, oh, there's somebody right now. I can kind of go down there. And for me, I had an experience where there was like it was a short period of time. But I really do believe that I had an attachment, and that was a very scary thing for me. Cause I never thought I mean, you know, it's like, you kind of think like, yeah, it's never going to happen to me, you know, type thing. And I would say this was probably about a couple of years ago. And, but my whole personality felt different, and I knew, and it was like very strange, and there was like things kind of like almost being put in my head that was not me, you know, just like very different. And I could just sense, I was like, this isn't coming from me. What's going on? And then having that moment of, oh gosh. And then in our old house, you know, we were told a lot that there was like this man there. I mean, Seth's on all the time. It's like, we couldn't almost get rid of this guy. You know, it's like he somehow kept finding a way to come back. And so I felt, you know, maybe it was that spirit. And, you know, it was like there was that moment of literally kind of recognizing it. I feel like once I actually recognized it, I knew to take power over it and to separate it. And I just did so much cleansing work, just of myself, just really just trying to, like, you know, break that and stuff. And it did, thankfully. And, you know, I didn't have it anymore. And, like, literally, like, it was just almost like a light switch, you know, just like the different thoughts that I, you know, had and stuff like that, like, were gone. I mean, it was just completely gone. And I was just like, wow, you know, what a relief. And it's like, I've completely, you know, it's not happened since, but I have kept, I've definitely kept things a lot more dim. Mm-hmm. Since then, so I really walk around for the most part with dimmed chakras. It's very like it's kind of more of a rare thing that I open
that
them
you're
up.
Cognizant of it, and that's a huge thing. That, right. I think that was the big lesson in all that for you, in that it was odd and it was weird, and you recognized that it was odd and it's weird, but it wasn't malevolent.
Right.
It potentially could have been, but it wasn't at that point.
Right.
What it was it created a scenario where you recognized the situation and then took steps to alter it and take control, like you said, take charge, take control, and now you're cognizant of those things. That's a huge step in recognizing the energy and knowing now and forever in the future when something within your own energy field changes.
Oh yeah.
That's kind of the thing that basically everybody on the planet needs to start learning. Mm-hmm. Everybody needs to become cognizant of the fact that we are energy beings.
Yes.
And to know how to use that energy to protect our own energy, when to give it, when to allow others in, how to protect it, how to radiate it. There's a lot of lessons in that, but the first step, like anything, is recognizing it, which you did.
Oh, yeah.
That was your big lesson.
It did take some time. I didn't really recognize
it. Did you just ting?
I did.
Is that the time?
Family
is
announcement.
That the bell?
Whoa. My giant ring in the glass.
I was afraid it was going to like break off the tip of that amethyst.
Ooh.
Oh my goodness. Right, but we're all walking around like with radio antennas, and you're talking about manifesting the law of attraction. It's the same thing with the radio, and we're talking frequencies and energy. If you're always walking around with your radio antenna all the way up and open, it's an open sign to anything in the universe that, okay, this person, it's like if you put an open sign on a door, anyone can walk in. Mm-hmm. And so what you're doing by, you know, when you want to meditate or when you want to do a reading, chakras wide open.
Right.
And then when you're done with that, don't forget to close your chakras or don't forget to dim your chakras, because you don't want to be totally closed off, because you're really trusting your intuition to guide you through the rest of the day.
Right.
By dimming them, it's just like turn down the volume. You can control those experiences a lot better.
It works. Really that advice that you gave me then, I've taken it with me for a long time now.
Good.
Because it's really helped. But for me, like with the attachment, it did take me, I want to say at least a month or maybe two before it really hit me, because I realized something was different. And at first it's just kind of like, I was like almost questioning myself, like, this is weird, but what's going on? I don't understand this. And then with it also, it was like, it really affected me. It was like mentally and emotionally. And so that's when I also started realizing like a very big depression that was beyond. And I've had, you know, depression in my life, obviously, but this was like worse than ever. That really just hit me. It was really awful. And then I started having like really bad thoughts, you know, and that was different too. And so it's like when all that was, I put it all together and I was like, so with this one, I don't know if it was the most, you know, benevolent.
Right.
Attachment, actually. So when you said, you know, I
think it was a lesson.
Oh, it was. It could have been so much worse. But I realized that if I hadn't recognized it, it could have grown. You know, then it can also maybe be where you're even inviting other attachments too, because you can have more than one.
So just imagine how many people are walking around like that and have idea whatsoever.
I feel like this is happening to them. Sometimes, can't you? I mean, I've met people before where I realize there's an attachment on them. I can just, I can tell.
You can now.
Yeah. Well,
because now you're in tune to the energy, not only your own, but other people's as well.
Right. Exactly.
But so many people still just have their blinders on and have no idea that these things are even a possibility.
Exactly.
You know, they're still in the thought process that this is all bad.
Right.
You don't do this. You don't touch this. You don't talk about it. You don't delve into it. You don't research it because it's all, you know, bad.
Right.
When really it's probably one of the most important lessons we'll ever learn on this planet.
Oh, yeah. To me, when I finally like learned the protection stuff, it really just helped me, because then it just alleviated any fears at that point. And one thing I just didn't realize is I was like, you know, the camera guy behind the film. So I'm going to all these different things. We're doing a lot of paranormal investigations and Seth's talking to spirits everywhere, at all the places, you know. And I wasn't coming home and smudging myself. You know, even though Seth told me to, I just, you know, I'd come home and I'd be tired and I'd forget. You know, I did once in a while. So it's like, to me, it's like I thought, well, I don't know if that spirit came from the house, or it could have easily come from somewhere else. You know, you just never know, because I was exposing myself to so many different places where the activity was being heightened because you had a medium there talking to them.
Right. And that is a huge lesson, I think, that I've taken away from our experience the last many years, having psychics and mediums around us all the time, is that every place is haunted, if that's what you want to call it.
Right,
There is no specific place that's more haunted. A place becomes deemed haunted when people who don't believe in these things have enough experiences that they can't call it anything else except, okay, there's something weird here, it's haunted.
Right.
But basically anybody who's tuned into energy can walk into any space, anywhere, at any time, and encounter energies that are not living human beings or living animals in the moment. Or I don't want to go too far down the rabbit hole and freak people out,
well,
because there's a lot of energy things out there that
podcast episode.
Definitely another podcast episode for sure.
What's haunting? What are they, we talk about the multiverse and some spirits maybe Mm-hmm. Could just be someone who's resonating with our energy right now, or we're resonating with their energy right now.
Right.
And it's like when you're tuning the radio dial, when we used to tune the radio dial,
yep.
and you're going in between stations and you're tuning into something else.
Right.
So maybe we're doing, with the multiverse, we could be one planet and there could be 100 different lives going on at the exact same time.
For sure.
And sometimes maybe we see that coming through. And, mm-hmm. you know, that explains, well, that can explain seeing aliens, seeing Bigfoot, seeing all these different cryptids and other things out there.
All the fantasy animals that people have said all these years are just fairy
tales. There's a ripple in the energy.
Fairy tales.
And we're tuning into that frequency for a moment, maybe.
Yeah.
Are vampires real?
In some
level,
they are.
That's a different podcast, too.
In some level, they have to be, because if enough people have imagined it, we've all given it enough energy that we have literally created it, because there's this science has actually come to an understanding that we affect our reality simply by tuning our consciousness to it.
Mm-hmm.
So the minute that you look at something, you have altered it in some way. So if a whole bunch of people think about something and think that it's real, we as a group have created it on some plane.
Yep.
You mean the coronavirus?
There's that too.
What about
that? Probably just by thinking that we're all going to have a pandemic, we've created a pandemic.
I still have my mask.
Good. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face like me. Can't stop touching my face.
Me either. I know, it's a thing. It's a thing.
So it's pretty fascinating that we all had experiences starting from being very young, and I bet you might have even had experiences younger than 14, and maybe you just didn't recognize it as being unusual.
Yeah, probably.
I think I've had a lot of things that I might not have recognized just because I had my steel bubble around me for a long time, but I also had this weird family history where all this weirdness was normal.
Right.
Where other people didn't have weirdness as normal. And
that was my family, definitely. I mean, to me, a lot of the stuff that happened to me as a kid, it's like, you know, it's like, it just was always brushed off, you know, it was like nothing strange really that happened.
Yeah.
But I knew it was real, you know, it's like even like my little, you know, Black Shadow Hand story, it's like, as much as you'll have a lot of people probably hear that and say, oh, you're a kid, you're just imagining, you woke up from a dream, you know, what's going on. But, you know what's true within yourself. And that's what I have to always stand by.
And even with religion, sometimes those experiences aren't so much ignored as they are reframed.
Right.
As answers to prayer, or an event that God did this so this would happen. You know, things like
discernment.
What it is it's acknowledging that energy, but giving it a name.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's why there's so many religions. Everyone has their own way of giving it that name.
Right.
And basically, a lot of us have decided to call it the universe,
right.
or call it the collective consciousness, or call it spirits, or whatever we want to call it. It's all the same kind of energy that we don't really understand yet. And we're all on a journey trying to figure out what that means to us. And why is that a part of our lives? And if it is, when did we disconnect? How do we get that back? And will that make life better?
Well, let me give you a little teaser that may lead into our next talk.
Okay.
From the time that I was very little and I started asking people about their religion, because kids at school would ask me, well, what religion are you? And I'd be like, well, I don't know. And I'd go home and I'd ask my family, I'm like, what religion are we? And they're like, well, you know, obviously we don't go to church. I might believe this. I was, you know, my grandfather was baptized in the Catholic Church, but he never believed in church. So we didn't go to church. It's not that he didn't necessarily believe in religion. So I started developing my own theories from a very, very young age. And so from the time I was very little, I was telling people, I'm like, that God that you believe in, that God is just an alien race, and they're superior to us, and basically we're just a petri dish, and we're their science experiment, and they're superior to us, so you call them God. And yeah, that really hasn't gone over well. You know, when I was little, I didn't get to say it a lot, but I did definitely think it. And now more and more things are starting to come out about that as well.
Well, now there's books written on it, a lot of people believing that same theory. So to me...
So now I hear other people saying that same thing.
It's like, was that a revelation given to you at a young age? Or shall we stay tuned to the next episode as we dive in further?
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. Well, awesome. Right. I guess this about wraps this one up.
Yeah.
That's a lot of great stories everyone shared, so that's pretty awesome.
Amazing experiences in just our small group. Imagine all the things other people have had.
Definitely. I just want to tell our listeners, one thing you can do that's really great and cool for you is you can actually call in and leave us a message on the anchor.fm on our page there. You guys call in and share some of your stories. We can actually put them into some further podcasts of ours. So yeah, call in, share a story. We'll keep it there, and you might surprise yourself and hear yourself on one of our future podcasts.
Wow, fun.
Yeah, totally.
All right. And we also have another group that we're involved in called the Vision Collective.
Yep.
We will be doing classes down in Oregon City. I don't remember the next date that we have coming up, but we have a lot of the same names.
It's
that
in May.
A lot of the same people that will be doing classes at the Oregon Ghost Conference also teach with our group, and it'll be a regular monthly event. So you can look up Vision Collective on Facebook and find our upcoming schedule. And each month we're trying to have a different theme so that we have a continually rotating and fresh and new classes for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you need to hear something from a different person in a different way before it finally clicks and it makes sense to you. So
for sure.
Sometimes you just gotta take different classes with different people until you get that right vibration.
Most definitely.
Yeah, exactly.
I know the May class is Discover the Divine Feminine.
Yes.
And just visit our website. It's vision-collective.com. And also on Facebook, we are Vision Collective LLC. And we're also on Instagram, Vision Collective LLC. And the date of that next conference is May 9th. So go ahead and mark your calendars. It's going to be incredible. And I know that Carolyn, Jason, and myself will be teaching at that next conference.
Yes.
All right.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks so much
for listening.
Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye-bye.